you want more? More money? More love? More energy? If so, then you're definitely in the right place, and I want to let you know that you're not alone. Each week, I'll be bringing you a special guest who will share with you their journey to success, where you'll learn beneficial skills, tactics, and life lessons to take with you along your own path. But the most important lesson you'll learn is that there's only really one person that you'll ever be chasing, and that person is you. My name is Matt Petruzzo, and I want to welcome you to the Chasing You Podcast. Awesome. You guys are going to be super excited today. I have Ben Berlin in my presence, and I am super excited. He is the president of Berlin Enterprises, which is a real estate investment company here in Erie, Pennsylvania. But he's not only just an investor, he's also a mentor and a coach to a lot of entrepreneurs who are starting out in real estate and really want to learn and how to succeed in real estate, which is obviously a great avenue to get into. So I'm super excited. Thank you so much, Ben.
Yeah,
he doesn't know this, but actually when I was first starting out in real estate and getting kind of just in the market to look at real estate, he had a lot of YouTube videos that were very encouraging and very inspirational that kind of showed me that I could start out and I could do this myself. And he was very instrumental and I guess a catalyst in me starting in the real estate. So I want to thank you for that so much. But
I love to hear that.
Yeah, great.
I hear, you know, it's amazing. I hear it, not to boast at all, because I'm very humbled, but I hear that. Mm-hmm. I hear that a lot. Like it's very humbling to hear that from people.
Because I think a lot of people don't want to put themselves out there. They're afraid to be judged. And you know, I was so intrigued by you because you were just open to tell your story.
I was afraid to be judged too, is the thing. You know, that's the thing. I mean, I was, but I did it.
Yeah, so. And you did it. That's great. And that's what I kind of want to talk with you guys about is like, you know, you didn't start out in real estate. Your family didn't have a background in real estate or anything like that, right? So kind of give us the background of like where you came from and how you kind of got into this.
Well, I had no idea that you could even do whatever you wanted to in life.
Right.
I literally no idea. My dad was a high school math teacher. Mm-hmm. Mom was a stay-at-home mom. Four kids. We had a great life. We had the best childhood, unconditional love, but just no business sense whatsoever in the family, really. Not taking anything away from my parents, but it was just to go to school, get a job, you know, go to college, get a job, save for your 401k, and you know, live happily ever after, rely on the government after retirement, and that was it. So that was the path I initially took. I just didn't even have any concept that one could do whatever they wanted to in life. No concept.
I think a lot of people are there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. So I just had no idea.
And
so
you start working for somebody else, right?
Yeah, yeah. I graduated high school in 1997. I went a year to college, Edinburgh University, for 1 year. I went for chemistry.
Okay.
Chemistry.
Oh, okay.
and then I took 3 years off and just I waited tables at Riverside Inn, which unfortunately burned down last year, but a very historical, awesome place.
Yeah,
a lot of good memories
place,
from there.
Sure.
There's a brewery going in there now, actually,
awesome.
So that's even better. But I waited tables through for 3 years there, and then I was dating a girl that was on the Edinburgh volleeball team, and she really encouraged me to get back to school, and she did a lot of this stuff for me, because I kind of can have a tendency to not take action sometimes on things, I was the youngest of four kids, and I think that plays a role in things, being the youngest of four kids, because I always had somebody to take care of me, you know?
I'm the youngest too, but I actually see you as a very big action taker, which is funny that you take, you know, you think of yourself as not taking action, but all right.
I see, that's funny because from an outside it would appear that way. And I mean, I guess I do. I have overcome a lot of that, but my natural tendencies are to be hesitant to take action or oh, it's too much work or it's too hard or, you know, it's, you know, too much stress or I'll look stupid or, you know, just that's just my natural tendency to be that way. So where was I? So I took 3 years off. This girl at the time got me back in school. I went back for business. So it took me four more years. I got a bachelor's in business administration. And I ended up with a minor in economics and a minor in applied computer technology, kind of by accident.
Yeah, yeah.
But So at that time, the owners of Riverside Inn bought Riverside Golf Course, which is right down the road. And they asked me to go down there and be the service manager. So I said yes. I moved over there and was the service manager. At the time, the general manager there, it wasn't going well with him. And they asked him to leave, and they actually asked me, I had just graduated with my business degree, and they actually asked me to take that position. Now, generally, I didn't know anything about golf courses, you know.
You're about 25 at this time?
Yeah, I was 25. That's exactly what I was, when I graduated. So this was right after I graduated college, and I took over his position. Of course, the golf course had a superintendent that covered the golf end of it, and, you know, people in the pro shop and all that. But I did what it did allow me to do is I did the all the books for the business, which was a very good experience. I did all the accounting and the books, and I still was service manager as well. And it really thrust me kind of into the business world. You know, I had you know, people would come up soliciting things, you know, and I had a nice office, and it was cool. It was a good experience. It was kind of stressful at the time, but it was a good experience. So I did that for 3 years, and on the at the end of the third year, my fiance at the time, Rachel, and I got married. So that was August 2007 we got married. We ended up moving not far away, but to here in Erie, Pennsylvania, 40-45 minutes from Cambridge Springs, where we had been living. And things went a little bit sour with that job, unfortunately, and so we both resigned from the jobs that we were doing in Cambridge. She was substitute teaching at the time, so we moved to Erie, so she still had the substitute teaching, you know, position. She was waiting tables as well. But we moved to Erie, and she was the one, she was responsible for finding an apartment for us. We were just living in a real little apartment in Cambridge Springs, so she went to look for an apartment in Erie and found this video online. A real good, well-done video from a Jim Winchell. He did this video advertising for an apartment he had for rent. And so she ended up seeing a building that he had in the video, and she thought it looked like his office. And so she marched right into the building. It wasn't really like an office that you can just go into, you know, but she marched right into the building and kind of shocked him because she's like kind of bossy and in charge, and said, "Hey, I see you have an apartment for rent." And he, and showed it. And we ended up renting that apartment. It was an apartment in a real cool a stone building on West 8th Street in Erie. Still own the building to this day. That was 11 and a half years ago. And we moved into this apartment, a four-unit building. So
you kind of saw this, you know, Jim.
Yep.
Which was, he was actually younger than you at this time, right? So you saw that, you're like, wait, this
kid. He was 25.
Yeah, you're like, he's a couple years younger than me, and he already owns a number of rental properties?
Yes.
Like, I didn't even know that existed. Like, how's that even a thing? So you started actually renting it from him first,
right? Yes, so we rented it for a couple of months from him. I couldn't even believe it. I met this guy, and we hit it off. We have similar interests and similar likes, and he was younger than me, and I couldn't even, I was just floored. How do you own this building? Like, you know, I didn't even understand how that was possible.
Because you grew up, and your dad was a teacher, correct?
Yeah,
and then your mom was a stay-at-home mom, right?
Yeah, yes.
So you just didn't know. Like, you don't know what you don't know,
don't
right?
Know, yep. Didn't even know that it was a possibility. It didn't even, I just couldn't even believe it. How do you own this building?
And so you started kind of talking with Jim a little bit?
Yes.
And, you know, eventually, how would that lead into? Right?
Well, so he told me a few key things about life and that you can do whatever you want. And he was very good at motivating and revealing this other side of life. You know, he's very talented at that. At any rate, he showed me how we could live for free if we bought that building instead of paying rent every month. And so I ended up buying that building off of him. And he, of course, made money on it. Fine. You know, it was an opportunity for me. He had bought it cheaper and put some money into it and got it operating well. And I ended up buying that building off. I think we only paid two months rent, maybe a third month. But like immediately after moving in, we bought it. And I had to get a little creative with that. I had to have my dad co-sign on I did get a bank loan on that one. He had co-signed on it. And then I had pulled I had set up a business line of credit. And I pulled some money out from that line of credit so it didn't show on my personal credit report and use that for the down payment.
Because I think a lot of people starting out, they think that, you know, maybe they don't have the best of credit or they don't have enough money. You know, what you said, what I really liked was you had to be creative.
Right.
You know, it's not that, you know, everybody that become successful just is handed everything.
Not
it's,
at all.
It's the engine, you know, I guess the creativity, the fact that they're able to just go out and think of different ways to get their result. You Absolutely. Know, and you want to, you know, like, hey, this is a different thing. I don't know much about it. But that's why I said I really admire you for the action, because you're like, you know what? This is a whole new opportunity. I'm going to take action on this. I'm not going to just learn about it and then sit on my, you know, my feet and, you know, sit on my hands. I'm going to actually take some action.
Yes.
So you went and you bought that building, and that's obviously turned you into this, you know, a real estate mogul.
Right. That was the first step. Oh, I forgot to say, at the time too, I was developing some other skills. When we moved to Erie, I started to sell point of sale systems, like you see at restaurants and bars, the touchscreen things. And that was just cold calling. Yeah. You know, I'm going to places, and then that, I mean, that takes, you know, some guts to do that.
I tell everybody, I think sales should be a prerequisite more so than college.
Yes.
Because no matter what you do in life, like, you have to interact with people.
Absolutely.
You know, you're always going to interact with other people, and the way that the world works is you better know how to handle rejection. You know,
Absolutely.
Better how to, you know, you better know how to, like, handle emotional intelligence.
Absolutely.
You know, we're so caught up in, like, the IQ, but we forget about the EQ, which is very important.
Well, I think everything in life, honestly, is kind of sales.
Yeah,
if you think about
sure.
it. Yeah, anything that you want in life that you don't currently have, where do you get it from? You get it from other people,
for
right?
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't just manifest itself.
Somebody's like, right? I'm just going to manifest this $1 million into my bank account.
It comes from other people.
Yeah. It's going to come. I deserve it. You got to go out
and
do
it
something.
Will, right?
You got to do something. So, I mean, obviously, over the years, you know, you have built up this successful real estate portfolio just starting out. And, you know, I think a lot of people think that, you know, you have to know everything before you get started.
Right.
And that is one thing we talk about. Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, this analysis by paralysis, right?
Yes.
It's over, you know, right now there's too much information available to us. There's too much information that can overwhelm
you. Well, and that's overwhelming in and of itself.
And when you get overwhelmed, you know, you don't take action. And I love that you just always have that mentality of, like, you know what, I don't know a ton right now, but the way that you learn is by going through the process of it. And, you know, I'm very intrigued personally by, like, how you kind of got into, you know, obviously you basically started getting some success from real estate. You said, okay, hey, I can do this. I want to be able to maybe teach some other people, see if I can prove my skills, if this will work for other people too.
Right.
So what kind of got you intrigued to start doing that?
Well, I kind of fell on that as well. So I was working another job too, doing sales also for a audio, high-end audio company out of Edinburgh, doing sales and programming and the business end of that. So that gave me some more business experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was very beneficial to me, and it allowed me to have flexibility to study real estate. You know,
so
as soon as this thing clicked in my head about, you know, what you can do in life, I took off with it. I absorbed everything I could.
Mm-hmm.
I learned everything I could. I read everything I could. I immersed myself in real estate. And at the time, I didn't necessarily I wasn't doing real estate, I don't think, because I loved real estate, and I do love, love architecture and houses, and there's a lot of fun things about it. But to me, I saw the freedom that it could give you, so to pursue your other passions. And I, as far as starting to mentor and train others, that just, people just started to take notice is what happened. I, you know, moved into town, I didn't really know anybody here, even though it wasn't that far away from where I'm from, but didn't really know anybody. People started to take notice, and then, of course, everybody's approaching me, you know, and asking how I did it, how I'm doing it, you know, and so me being me, I'm just offering, you know, free advice and meeting with people and telling them. And, you know, looking back, I don't regret anything. Looking back, I err on the side of sharing too much with people for free, but that's okay. I mean, I think it always comes back.
It does come back. And I see that a lot, you know, like I share a lot too, you know, sometimes. But what it is, it's transparency, and it's being authentic to who you are.
It is.
Because, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, I have a funny analogy that, like, there's a lot of people that I could literally hand them a Lamborghini and tell them to sell it for $10,000, and they wouldn't do it. They would find ways to convince themselves that it's a bad deal.
Right.
You know, so
right.
it's so funny. Like, it doesn't matter what you tell people. It's what they believe in themselves.
Well, absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
Sometimes it's like, I want to share my knowledge with everybody that's open to it, because the people that, you know, are really, truly, you know, have been on the journey or want to go down the journey that we're on, you know, you can connect to, you can feel that energy.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
I believe that does come back to,
tenfold.
Oh, sure. It does. And I think the more people you help and the more you give, I think it always, at the time, it almost sometimes it might hurt, not seem like it, it's beneficial, but it always comes back to you tenfold.
And I think it's just the transparency of it.
It is.
Just being who you are, being authentic to what you believe.
Yes.
And you believed, you're like, hey, I did this for myself. Like, I know this works. Like, so you're just so, like, I get very passionate about certain things. And, like, that's one of my skills. Like, I know that I get very passionate when I talk with other entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
Because, I know the grind that they went through. It's not just roses and, it's a grind.
It's a grind. It absolutely
is. But on the other end of it, there's freedom. You have the creativity. And I call entrepreneurship, the best self-improvement and personal development program around, known to mankind, because you have to go through things
absolutely
on your own a lot of times.
You have
what I mean? And when you're first starting out, you need to do things, but then then you can expand and you can grow your team and grow your influence and things like that. But it can get lonely and it can
absolutely
be a grind. So I think that personal development, it's so important. So I know you do a lot of reading and are into that as well. So how important do you think self-improvement and personal development
Self-development is everything.
Right.
And I've heard it called the refiner's fire before, that one has to go through. And I think we go through phases of the refiner's fire many times throughout our careers. And in fact, after I bought that first building, it was almost a year later that I bought my second one. Since then, I've probably done 150 deals or so. But the first few years of it, and there was a lot of life changes, getting married, moving to a different town, losing that friend group, from the other town, being on my own, I started to feel like the weight of the world was on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I actually went through a very, very, very difficult time for a couple of years of horrible anxiety and even depression. And, it was very, very tough for a while.
So I have a theory on this.
Yeah.
And because I went through the same thing, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs that are starting out that don't come from the background of having this success in their family or seeing this success, what I think it all ties down to, this is my theory, it all ties down to our identity and ourselves.
Yeah.
So the reason why I say that is because, say, for people that, come from middle class, I came from middle class, not poor, not extremely wealthy, but middle class, just the normal person.
Yep.
And, you follow this path, right? You go through, go through school, you go to college, and you, basically think, okay, I'm supposed to start making 50 grand a year, whatever it may be. And then when that entrepreneur bug kicks in and you start learning that it's possible to make more than that, it's possible to do whatever you want and make whatever money you want, and it's up to you.
Yep.
And once that kicks in, you change your identity a little bit.
Well, sure.
But then what happens is, at a point where you start to succeed, I started making pretty good money at like 23, 24 years old, and then by 26, I was making pretty good, real good money on rental properties, all this stuff. And then I started to get anxiety. I started to go down this pigeonhole, because what happens is, this is what I think. So you go down this trajectory and your identity is exceeded what it was all your life.
Absolutely.
So you've now exceeded your identity, your prior history, your prior stories of what you believe you're worth. So you start to self-sabotage.
I agree.
Okay? And I think when you go up that hill, at first, you start to see all the money, you start to see all the things, and what you do to try and protect your identity is you start looking externally for, money and cars and, boats and fancy watches, all this stuff, and that's like the natural progression.
And that becomes your identity.
And you start to connect your identity to external sources.
Yes.
And the problem with it is it's sustainable for a short period of time.
Exactly.
But then after a while, you start to have to look back into yourself and you start to self-sabotage to bring your thermostat back down to what you believe your identity is.
I agree totally.
And what I found out, because I went through this and I know what you're going through,
is,
the two things that I know will increase your identity is, there's two things I found out. The first one is you have to basically start doing crazy shit.
Yeah.
You start doing, because when you first started, you were doing things that you didn't know were possible,
right.
And you started to believe in yourself and you started to build that identity. So I love doing crazy shit that people I know won't do.
Yeah.
So when you start doing things yeah. that people won't do, you start to believe that you deserve things that other people don't
yeah.
deserve.
Well, so that's key. That's a key yeah. point that you say deserving, because yeah. I think deep down, I grew up in such a modest family. I think deep down, I didn't think that I deserved
100%.
Money, or I didn't deserve, you know, yeah. I wanted stuff and, you yeah. know, but I didn't, I think I didn't, I feel, I believe that inside I did yeah. not believe that I deserved
it. And that's, I've met with so many entrepreneurs that come from, you know, middle class backgrounds that go through the same ups and downs. And I've literally thought about this hundreds of times. I'm like, why do we go through this?
Yeah.
And that's, it has everything to do with your identity. And that's one way to increase your identity. And the second way is to associate yourself with
yeah.
people that are doing such bigger things.
Absolutely.
So when I started associating myself with people that are doing 10, 20, 30 million dollars a
yeah.
year, I'm like, oh my God, I'm
yeah.
like, there's nothing that makes them different than me. So why am I believing that I'm
yeah.
such a baby that, you know, I'm doing this, like I'm so special
yeah.
or I don't deserve this. But like, the association is so crucial. And
yeah.
I kind of hate the cliche of like the, you know, the five people you associate with are, you know, the combination of what you are.
Yeah, you're the average.
Yeah, the average of it.
Right.
The reason why I hate it is because it's overused so much
yeah.
that people tend to neglect the importance
yes.
of it.
Yes.
You know
right.
what I mean?
But it is
but it's so true.
That's
it's
the thing.
So true.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Yeah, so and that's
you have to be very careful what you surround yourself with.
With your association, because
yeah.
I mean, you can self-sabotage yourself
absolutely.
By just that alone, you know, and one of the things that, you know, I admire by you is like, you know, you've went through the hardships, you know,
mm-hmm.
you knew the ups and the downs
yep.
and, you know, one question I have, I guess, is, you know, with that in mind that you've went through those things, you know, if you could talk to yourself and, you know, kind of go back 5 years,
mm-hmm.
what's something that you would really kind of tell yourself that, like, you know, hey, it's going to be okay, or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, I think that you have to find a piece within, and it's a confidence in yourself, I think, really, is what
yeah.
it comes down to. It's a confidence in yourself. It's taking the advice that you just said. It's just knowing that everything will be all right. I think with me, too, it helped to really think about what's the worst that can happen,
right.
you know? What's the worst that can happen? And it really helped me to jot down things, whether it's, you know, letting go of some minutia stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
you think you're losing control, you think you could lose control, but no, really, what's the worst that can happen? And,
yeah.
and for me, it helped to write down a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, I would write down what is the worst, you know, scenario.
Yeah.
Even bankruptcy, even losing,
yeah.
like, you're going to be okay. You know, a winner is a win. You know, if you're
you'll
a winner,
back.
Like, you're, you know,
yeah.
you'll come back. And you'll be smarter from
yeah.
it, you know. And so entrepreneurship is a series of ups and downs. And
without a doubt.
You know, I did have my identity for a while there with, you know, supercars and, you know, yacht. And
yeah.
But I let some of that stuff go because
mm-hmm.
it can start to own you.
For sure.
And that is not a place you want to be. It can be fun
yeah.
and it seems like the high life, and it
mm-hmm.
kind of can be for a while, but it's just...
And by no means, like, am I ever telling people to not make money and buy
no.
fancy cars?
No.
Like, I love fancy cars.
Yeah.
I love...
So do
you
I.
Know, like, but the problem is like when you start to change your identity
yes.
to match those things
yes.
and not work on yourself first, because
exactly.
you know, I think, you know, most people think of, you know, they want $1 million, but they don't think of who they have to become
exactly.
to be able to make $1 million.
Yes.
Right? And I always think of like, who do I have to become to deserve $1 million?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the big thing. So that's
yeah.
that's a great tip.
Deserving is
the
deserving,
key. For
sure. Absolutely.
So I know right now, you know, we're constantly trying to improve. We're always looking
yep.
to grow and things like that. And I know you're passionate about helping other entrepreneurs get
yeah.
into real estate, because that's, you know, real estate's a passion of yours.
Absolutely.
You know how lucrative it can be and how freeing it can be. So I know right now you're working on kind of a course, right?
Yeah.
To
yeah.
help other entrepreneurs get started
yeah.
on real estate and things like that. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, kind of see what's going on with that, I know in the works, we you know, we'll probably be getting something together soon
yeah,
to
yeah.
check on it. But
Matt's actually, don't let him be modest. he's helping me with that.
So,
I do have an existing course back
yeah.
back to you asked about how it kind of fell on me, people
mentoring,
asking me questions
yeah.
and mentoring. Well, as soon as I started to see their success, I did develop like my own
yeah.
syllabus and
yeah.
course,
and
I have been doing that, and I do have YouTube channel, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and I'll tell you what those are in a second. But Matt was just saying we're developing a new, better and improved. Yeah, it's gonna be good.
A great program, you know. Because I know the importance of real estate as well. Even though I have an insurance agency, I mean, I truly believe in multiple streams of income and you know, cash flow, and just being able to live life the way that you want to live and not be dictated by other people. Yep. And real estate's a great way to get into it. And that's why I was so intrigued when, you know, when me and Ben were talking about it. And I know his course and his curriculum works. So I was like, you know what, I want to help him with this, because, you know, awesome. So I'm super excited to get that going with Ben as well. But, you know, if somebody wanted to reach out to you and get in touch, how would they do so?
So you can email me info@berlinenterprises.net. So Berlin, like the city in Germany, enterprises with an S, info@berlinenterprises.net. You can do my Instagram page, which is Benjamin D. Berlin. I got to look this up here. I think it's Benjamin D. as in Daniel Berlin. My Facebook is Benjamin Berlin, and then I also have a business page, Berlin Enterprises, and then I have a YouTube channel as well, Berlin Enterprises.
Yeah, if you're just starting out in real estate, you don't know where to go, you don't know where to begin, you know, his YouTube page is very, very informative and gives a lot of great insight and motivation to just prove to you that you can do it too. It doesn't matter where you start from, and, you know, you can literally go out and just say, you know, I do believe that you have to have some skin in the game.
Oh, when you're
first starting.
Absolutely.
But not, I mean, you don't have to have like $100,000 saved up or anything like that.
Well, you can actually start with no money. Yeah, I mean, I had no money when I started, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, there's ways to do it with literally with no money.
A lot of options.
Skin in the game can be just hard work you know. So I can tell you all those tricks, but.
Yeah, so Ben's got great stuff to tell you. One last question before we get out of here. You know, I know you got a lot of stuff going on that you want to improve on, you know, for the next upcoming Ben, you know, and the whole point of this podcast is to kind of show people that, like, there's never sitting on your laurels, right? It's always growing. It's always continuing. It's always improving. It's always chasing that next best version of you. So, you know, in 5 years, where do you see the best version of you?
Well, I just see doing what I'm doing, but on a mass scale. I think that one of my best qualities or what my purpose in life is to help as many others become the best version of themselves possible. And that really, so I spent a lot of time with self-development and self-improvement, you know, before we even get into the real estate portion of it, because that's so important. So I think doing what I'm doing, but on a much larger scale. Mm-hmm. And really, that's just, you know,
being able to impact more masses, people, right? And we're in such a great opportunity now. That's why we're talking to you today, because, you know, there could be somebody out there that's struggling right now. You know, I went down the same path. You know, I didn't start in sales. I didn't start in real estate. I didn't know any of this stuff. And, you know, a lot of times, I don't know where you're at right now, you could be lonely. You could be lost. You know, you don't know where to start. You don't know where to begin. You could be stuck in a dead-end job, or you could, you know, just be getting done graduating college, and, you know, you don't know where to go, you know, because there's so much information out there telling you to go one path, and then you don't really have any identity for yourself. So if there's something that you ever want to learn about, you know, reach out to me. You can, you know, find me, obviously send a message to me at Matthew Petruso anytime, reach out to Ben. But, you know, anything that you put your mind to, I promise you can do.
Absolutely.
And that's the whole point of this podcast.
If you don't believe it, even if you currently don't believe it, you can. Yeah. That's the thing.
It's crazy how it compounds too.
Yes.
But the first and most important thing that you need to take is take action and take a vision of yourself and just continuously improve yourself and continuously learn and always, always, always stay positive.
Yeah.
And I thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
And you'll be seeing a lot of these, and I hope you guys enjoy it. All I hope is you like and subscribe, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right. See you guys.
See you guys.